You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
To you about guard your heart. The Lord want to teach us how to guard our heart. And so this morning message of the title is guard your heart. I would that you would tell your neighbor this subject this morning. Guard your heart. Look at one more person and tell him or her it is important when it comes to life and its cares and concerns that you know how to guard your heart. And let's give God a praise with a hand clap for the word on this morning. I'm primarily going to teach about the heart from a figurative standpoint. But before I deal with the heart from a figurative standpoint, I want to mention that our literal heart is important. I'm talking about the organ that pumps blood through the body. Because the blood, according to the scripture, the Bible teaches us that life is in the blood. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And so when the blood is flowing or pumping freely through the body, the Bible teaches us that that is life in the blood. And so if the literal heart, the literal organ, is responsible for pumping that blood through the heart or life through the body, then it just behooves us to take care of our literal heart. Come on, somebody. I said we need to take care of our literal heart. Keep a check on your literal heart. Come on, somebody. Because we're not like it used to be in the old days where most of the time when people had heart issues, you always would automatically, most of us assume that you was talking about somebody in their 70s, 80s, or maybe 90s that are having some heart trouble or heart condition. But how many know there are a lot of young people that are dying with heart attacks? There are a lot of young people that are putting pressure upon the heart and they're not taking care of the heart, which again pumps life through the body or the blood. And so never slip on taking care of your literal heart in its entirety, your body. Amen. But when we deal with the heart from a figurative standpoint, the meanings are very important. Number one, the heart, when you speak about it, again, from a figurative standpoint, which is important for today's subject, is that our heart has to do with the seat of emotions. Our heart has to do with the seat of one's emotions. And how many know we want to be in control of our emotions? Nothing is more pitiful in life than when you see a grown person who is not in control of their emotions. They're continually up and down because they can't get control of their emotions. Can I teach it right? They don't know how to allow things that will disrupt their emotions from being where it needs to be. You often find people who don't know how to, again, know how to deal with things that are not good for my emotions, because I want my emotions to be intact. I don't want to be a person, again, that's up and down. I don't want to be somebody happy today, but then I'm sad tomorrow. I don't want to be the type of person that I'm so out of control when it comes to my emotions that I find myself crying for no good reasons. And there are folk that will be crying and sad, and they can't really put their finger, come on somebody, on why they are sad. If you ask them what is going on with them, they just know they feel a certain type of way, but they really can't pinpoint what's causing them to feel that way. And I know a lot of you going to act like you've always been in control of your emotions. And I'm not just talking about women this morning. You'll be surprised of men who get sad. You'll be surprised of men who go through mood swings because of their emotions. Oh, come on, somebody. But that heart also has to do with the seat of our affections. And you have to understand, when it comes to our affections, this is important because it is in the heart, from a figurative standpoint, that we are affected or we can feel things. In other words, if somebody shows you love, if somebody is good to you, it will cause you to smile, and you will feel that in your heart. You will feel the love that somebody is showing you, and it will be evident by the smile on your face or the joy, watch this, that enters your heart. Because again, it is in the heart that we find the seat of our affection. But at the same time, if that heart can be affected by love, I have to be careful, because my heart can be affected by hate. My heart can be affected when I'm mistreated. And so you have to guard the heart, because if you're not careful, a person can mistreat you, and instead of you letting it go, what they said or what they did, you'll carry it in your heart. Come on, somebody. And there are people who got mistreated by somebody. That person moved on with life, but it so affected their heart that they're now treating people in their life who are there to love them. Come on, somebody. Somebody there to support them. They're treating them as if they're that person. Oh, I got to break that down. I got to break it down. There are women who have good men right now. Not perfect men, but they have a good man. Come on, woman, if you got a good man, give him a praise. Amen. Because they are rare these days. But watch this. There are women that have a good man, but they will treat the good man like he's the bad man. They treat a good man in the present, watch this, based upon what a bad man did in the past. And so every man that they deal with all men the same. Have you ever heard a woman say, all men are dogs? No. All men are not dogs. You have allowed something to affect your heart. You have not let go of the past. All men are players. All of them are no good. Watch them. Keep your eye on them. You can't trust any of them. When you hear a woman talking like that, somebody has damaged her. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody has did a number on her heart. Woo! Even to the point to where some women will be single. God want to send them somebody, but their heart has been so messed up that they will shut the door on ever falling in love again. I don't want nothing to do with love. I don't want no affection. I don't need it. Oh, come on. Oh, it's quiet in the house. But see, their affections have been affected by how they were treated. Y'all just hang in here, because it's going to get tight. The heart is also the seat of desires. And so when you look at the heart as the seat of desires, we all have to be careful that we don't allow things to enter into our heart that causes us to desire something that we don't need to desire. See, I had to let that sit for a while. Had to let that marinate. Have you ever been surprised, knowing that you were saved, knowing that you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever surprised yourself by the things that entered your heart, by the things that you desired? You can never assume that because you woke up and you see a brand new day, you can never assume that all of your desires will be in line with the will of God. No, sometimes we give space to things that we don't need to give space to, and we start desiring something, watch this, that's bad for us. We start desiring something that will hurt us. Come on, somebody. All of us have not been attracted to good. There have been a time or two, because we didn't guard our heart, oh, come on, that we started desiring something that wasn't good for us. Oh, yeah, you don't tell nobody about that prayer meeting. You don't tell nobody how you had the prayer pray your way up out of a bad desire. No, you didn't tell nobody about your desires being so strong that you were not only when you was awake thinking about stuff you had no business thinking about, but this mess started messing with you in your sleep. Your desires, come on somebody. Woo! See, you gotta guard that heart. I ain't just been saved all these years and walking upright just because I look good. I had to learn how to guard my heart. Oh, it don't come automatically. It don't happen just because I'm a preacher or a pastor. I gotta work on this heart. I gotta work on this mind. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got a desire to get it, somebody. You got a desire to get some revenge, and you gotta work on that heart. Anybody ever been there? Can you admit it that you've had a desire to hurt somebody? And don't you walk up to nobody after certain time, look, who you going? I thought you were perfect. Ain't nobody in here perfect. And if you don't know how to guard that heart, you'll find yourself wanting something that's not according to God's will. This is how so many saints get out of the will of God. They don't guard their heart. Now they're desiring to be something. Uh-oh. But the only problem is God didn't ordain for you to be what you desire. See, desires are good, but at the end of the day, to keep from messing myself up, I want my desire to be in line with what he want me to have. Come on, cause he know me better than I know myself, cause I might just want something that'll kill me. So you gotta guard the heart. Also, the heart has to do with, again, from a figurative sense, the mind or the mindset. The heart has to do with the mind or the mindset. And primarily when I'm teaching on the heart this morning, I'm talking about our mind or our mindset. And it is out of the mind or the mindset that we make choices and decisions. And so I need to guard my heart so that I can make the right or proper choices. Or decisions. Watch. Because a lot of time when saints make bad choices, it's because we didn't guard our heart. Am I right about that? When you keep or when you guard your heart, it is to watch over, to preserve against opposition and attacks. It is to watch over, to preserve, to protect against opposition and attacks. You remember what David said in Psalm 51 when he didn't guard his heart right. He had to go to God, and David had to say to God, he had to plead with God, create in me, woo, a clean heart. Why? Because he allowed something to get in his heart that didn't need to be in there. And so he had to plead with God and say, create in me, watch this, a clean heart. Then he told God, and renew the right spirit. Whoa! You wonder why some saints walk around with bad attitudes. They won't allow God to clean their heart and create in them the right spirit. See, I want the right attitude. Come on, do you want the right attitude? I want to have the right, no matter what I go through in life, I want the right attitude. But you know what I found myself praying lately? Lord, help me. Watch this. In this situation, I pointed it out to him, to have the right attitude. Come on. Because sometimes we try to work on everybody else's attitude, but we ain't got our attitude right. Come on. And so if you ain't careful, you'll be dealing with something challenging, something difficult, but you don't have the right attitude. Your spirit ain't right in how you're trying to deal with it. Anybody ever tried to deal with something and you didn't have the right spirit, you didn't have the right attitude, and so you dealt with it in the wrong way, you approached it in the wrong way? Watch this now. Watch this. I appreciate hands up, but watch this. After you had prayed. Come on. Dealt with it wrong. But when a person accuses you of dealing with it wrong, you say, how so? And I've been praying. There's been a time or two I told for a lady that, look now, I've been praying before I came to you. She said, but you still in the wrong spirit. Because sometimes, why? You had to say that. Because sometimes in prayer, we don't yield the way that we need to. To know exactly how God wants us to handle something. Am I right about that? How many have been guilty of not yielding in prayer the way you needed to? And so you went to handle something. You had the good idea. You had a good plan. You know what you, how you wanted it to turn out. But your attitude. Whoa, an attitude sometimes is everything. Sometimes whether a person continues to listen to you or whether they shut you off is dependent upon the attitude that you come to them with. And again, when it comes to the issues, we have the concerns. We have cares of life. And even being children of the Most High God, we are not exempt from dealing with the cares of life. Are y'all with me? I want to take just a few moments to deal with the misconception of God in my heart. I want to deal with the misconception of guarding my heart. Because there are people you can hear, they'll use that terminology to justify their thoughts, their words, and their deeds. But the way in which they're using it is not right. This is important. I'm going to deal with the misconception of guarding my heart. Because you hear folks say, well, I'm just going to guard my heart. But you ain't got the right thoughts. You ain't got the right words. You don't, your deeds are not right. Are y'all ready to deal with this a little bit? The misconception of guarding my heart. You hear a person say, I will never trust anyone again. I'm guarding my heart. But see, that's based upon present or past hurt. See, like it or not, in this life, God is the one that we have absolute trust toward. But like it or not, in life, you also know, you need to know people who you can trust. Come on, let me teach it right. You don't trust them the way that you trust God, but we need people in our lives that we can trust. Watch this. And we know we can trust them because God has told us that we can. But there are people who are not enjoying life in the manner that they need to. And they claim they guard in their heart. But that's a powerful statement when you have been hurt in the past or you're being hurt by something or somebody in the present to where you decide, I will never trust anybody again. You have to recognize again that God himself has placed people in our lives that we can trust. Come on. You'd be surprised of folk, again, who can't move on from the past because they've decided that they're not going to trust anybody ever again. I'll go to church, but I will not get involved in church. I will not join a church. I will not commit to a church because I no longer trust preachers. But see, it'll be based upon, again, what a preacher has said or did in the past or the present. And they think that they're guarding their heart. But see, a lot of folk like this become mean-spirited. Come on, can I teach it? I said a lot of folk like this become mean-spirited. Because they'll be going through things and they need certain people in their life who they have shut out or refused to build a relationship with. And see, let me tell you, God don't want us close to everybody. Come on. Now you have to be careful. You don't get too close to certain folk. You got to pray. Come on, somebody. You got to be led by God. But there are people that God want us to have a close, tight, knit relationship with for the betterment of our life. But when you don't want to trust nobody, you can't even trust somebody when God is speaking through them. You doubt what folks say to you. But you call yourself guarding your heart. People say stuff like, I will never want to fall in love again. I'm just guarding my heart. It's the wrong attitude. Because again, it's based upon present or past regret. I don't ever want to fall in love. I once dealt with a person who was so bitter about life, had so much regret about life, that I remember telling the person, I said, look, you need to open up your heart to receive love. Woo! You know, one reason folk can't give love is because they can't receive love. Love is just not something we give, but it's also that which we need to receive. And I told the person, I said, you need to let some things go and open up your heart for love. And the person told me that that wasn't even in their mind to be in love. This is how much regret they had. But they eventually got to a place to where they recognized truth being spoken to them. And guess what God did? God didn't just send them somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. He sent them somebody that was just for them. Because sometimes when you think you're guarding your heart, you are blocking out people that God meant to be a part of your life and to help you reach your destiny. Oh, I know I'm talking right. I see looks that folks are giving me, but you got to be careful. I'm not letting anybody get close to me. You're not guarding your heart. You're messing yourself up. I'm not getting my hopes up and pursuing big things anymore. See, that's based upon present or past disappointment. Not realizing that ultimately, as saints of God, y'all listen to me carefully, we don't really understand sometimes why God didn't allow things to happen. Come on, somebody. See, when you have past disappointment, when you have present disappointment, and it causes you to be the type of person that you ain't getting your hopes up again for nothing, be it. I'm not pursuing nothing great again because I've always get disappointed. I'll always fall flat on my face. It never works out for me. Everybody else get it, but I never get it. And see, when you start guarding your heart, you're going to miss your blessing. You're going to miss your bigger. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. There are folk who didn't get a certain job, and it so broke them that they said they will never pursue a job on that level. They will never go after anything. They will never give their all trying to pursue something. They're just guarding their heart. But do you recognize when you guard your heart in such a way that you are setting yourself up for failure? Come on, somebody, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because again, we have to recognize that there are times that God is in why something didn't work out. Oh, Lord, y'all are quiet. No, I got to just stay there and teach that. I said, there, God can be in. Why something never manifested the way that you wanted it to manifest. Ooh, there are people that are so disappointed because certain relationships didn't work, not realizing that God was in it. Come on. God was in it for your betterment. God was in it to improve your life. I'm preaching from past experiences. I know what it's like to guard your heart to the point to where you're unwilling to step out. You are unwilling to trust God because you got disappointed. You got turned down. You got rejected. You got denied. But God had to teach me, son, you have got to open up your heart for that which I have in store for you, because I'm going to use your past disappointment so that you can be an anointed preacher and you can be an anointed teacher. Who am I talking to right now? You, come on, there are some of us, you had to get over past disappointment. You had to get over why things didn't work out. You had to learn to pick yourself up and keep moving forward and keep progressing. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. There's somebody in here right now. You got the best job you ever had, but you had to go through two or three failures, two or three setbacks. See, if you start guarding your heart in the wrong way, the one thing you guaranteed to do is to never truly enjoy life, because life is coming with its cares and its concerns. Come on. And if you ain't careful, you'll be crying about what didn't happen, not realizing that what God has ordained to happen is greater than what didn't happen. I'm preaching right, because this is a Christmas in May. This is a miracle 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 May. You can't hear God say that it's a miracle May and you living in the past. Get out of the past. Get out of the 80s. Get out of 2000. You got to get here now. I dare you look at somebody and say, you got to get here now. You got to get here now. Come on, somebody needs a deliverance. Tell somebody, you got to get in the present now. Y'all going to make me stop and preach about a now blessing. You going to make me preach about a now blessing. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to tell somebody, quit crying over what didn't happen. Start smiling over what's about to happen. Whoa, there's a miracle with your name on it. Oh, get over who rejected you. Get over who didn't want you. Get over who walked out on you. This is a miracle May. I hear you, God. I hear you. If they'll trust you, you'll give them a do-over. If they'll trust you, you will set them up for better. You will set them up for bigger. God, I wish somebody would shout about getting over stuff. I wish somebody would turn in victory about getting over things, getting beyond people. I got to get past this. I got to let this thing go. I got to let it loose me right now. There's better. Can I tell you how I really feel in my heart? I can't afford to miss what he ordained for me. I cannot miss. Be seated, be seated. See, people learn how to dress up a wounded heart. We learn how to disguise a broken heart.
If you hear enough people tell you that something will never happen. Oh, come on. I said, if you hear enough people tell you that something will never happen, and you don't know how to guard your heart against what they're telling you is not going to happen, that God assured you, if you trust me, if you be a faith walker, I'll make it happen. I'll create in your life. See, you start taking it in. And it starts affecting your heart. Let me deal with three types of hearts we don't want. Because see, when you don't guard your heart against the cares and concerns of life, it can change your heart for the worse. Whew. That's where we're constantly burying unsatisfied people, unfulfilled. Oh, come on, Minister Wright. Are you in the house? See, I'm not going to leave nothing on the table. But we're burying young and old who left a lot on the table. Woo! See, just because you old don't mean God can't bless you real good. I know I'm talking to somebody. I said, God will bless you in your old age. That'll make folk do a double take when they see. Come on, somebody. He'll bless you in your latter years. Come on. More so than in your form. He'll tell folks about you. You keep your eye on that woman because her latter years are going to be greater than her former years. See, God looked to pick up somebody that other folk thought it ain't thought nothing about them getting blessed. You think her time is over, but you better think up. Yeah. Be seated. Don't you let nobody decide when your time is over. Don't you let nobody decide when God has blessed you enough. He ain't blessed me enough until he says it, son. Let me deal with this thing. See, it take a word like this to break up the fallow ground. Some folk just pretending to be happy. Notice Psalm 12. Y'all hang in here. I'm almost done. Psalm 12. We got to deal with what we don't want our heart to be. If you don't guard your heart right, if you call yourself guarding your heart, but it's a misconception. You're not doing it the way you need to do it. It's going to lead to something damaging taking place. Look at Psalm 12. Look at Psalm 12. Woo! As you turn to Psalm 12, just tell somebody what you go through in life can change you for the worse. Come on. What you go through in life can turn you into somebody that you said, I don't ever want to be like. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. And it takes God to show you how to guard your heart while you're dealing with opposition and the cares of life. Because the cares of life going to come. Come on, somebody. I said, they're going to come. Every one of us on some level going to experience some disappointments. Make no mistake about it. But I want to be in that place where I can so trust God when something don't work the way I wanted it to work. I know in the end it will still work for my good. Come on, where my Romans 8:28 believer? For we know that what? We know that what? Work how? Of those who what? See, sometimes you just gotta go through hell and keep loving God. Go through your disappointment, but keep loving God. Don't just be able to get turned down. Be able to get shot down. Y'all know it's the difference between a turn down and a shot down. I ain't got time to preach on that. Psalm 12 and 2. Yeah, I've been turned down and shot down. Come on, I'm telling you what I know. And these things try to mess with your heart. Try to mess with your heart. Try to change you. You were known as being nice and friendly. Upbeat. Now you're negative all the time. That ain't good. Where is that person? Come on. This is a real worry for some. Where is that? Has life so beat you down that you don't want to experience joy anymore? Some folk write themselves off. But see, God sending the word that's not of him to revive somebody today. And it takes something when you look at past disappointment to trust God in such a way that you say, somehow, this too, no, will work for me. Now, it's already past because it happened, but you got to say, this too will work for me. You hear what I said? Somehow. Somehow. Because sometimes we don't have it from A to Z. Psalm 12 and 2. Let's deal with what we don't want to see take place. Psalm 12 and 2. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. This is what I want you to see. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. Tell somebody we don't want a double heart. Listen, that double heart is in reference to having a double mind. Remember what James said? If you double minded, you ain't going to receive nothing from the Lord. See, if you let the concerns and the cares of life cause you to be a double hearted person, you're going to miss your banner. Listen to me. You're going to miss your better being up and down. You're going to miss your better because instead of you being focused and one-minded or single-minded to move when God say move, you'll question God because you're double-minded. You're thinking about what you can do and not just getting up moving. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And see, God has a way of telling folks to move. And the thing that they're concerned about, oh, come on, God, speak to you. He has already worked that out. That's already been worked out. But see, when you don't move, you don't see that he has worked it out. Good God Almighty. Anybody, God ever told you to move, but you had several reasons why you should stay still, why you shouldn't move? Come on, somebody. Now, I know we all done stayed still before, but how many moved anyhow? Come on, how many got a testimony like Brother Jeremy? I'm getting up and I'm going up here, and God is going to have to work some things out. But when he done working it out, I'm going to leave driving what I desire to drive. And all that other stuff, he going to have to deal with it because I'm giving it to him, Lord. They say it ain't going to work because of this, but I'm giving this to you, Lord. And so when you get like that, God got a way of taking you through stuff. Come on, somebody. Taking you through a whole lot of disappointment. But he's breaking you down to build you up. I said he's breaking you down to build you. Come on, somebody been in a bad relationship. God allowed a breakdown so he could do a build up. Come on, sister. He wanted in you a new woman. He wanted in you a woman that could be happy without the approval of a man. He had to break you down to build you. I'm trying to move on. Some of us, God had to break us down financially. Come on, didn't let the business do nothing for a couple of years but struggle. Then God said, now I done broke you down. Now you're going to do it my way. Now your plan coming from me. Now your vision coming from me. Now your mission is. Hey. You know, some of us had our little vision and our little mission. God said, that ain't what I want the business to do. That ain't what I want to be about. Scrap that. But no, we kept pushing. We kept insisting that the business to do this. God said, okay, I know what I got to do. I got to break her. Now that business flourishing. And folks ask you, what you do? How did y'all do it? You said, I just did what God told me to do. I just stepped back and got out of the... I'm preaching hard. But somebody, all you need to do is get out of God's way. Stop being double-minded. If God said it, it's so. Come on, it's so. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Are you receiving? Yes. Are you receiving? Because yes. He's working on our heart. He's working on our heart. Now somebody, you gonna miss it. I'm gonna show you why you're gonna miss it. Proverbs 28:14. Yeah, God, I told y'all, God's gonna send a serious word this morning. I see folk just missing blessings. Not even who God ordained for them to do. And when you ask them why they're not doing it, they got a whole bunch of stuff they talking. But the problem is Proverbs 24:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent or respectful. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. See, the other type of heart we don't want is a hard heart. It's a heart that refuses to receive correction. It is a heart that hates to be corrected. But don't that sound familiar? When the concerns of life beat you down, you don't want to be corrected. Hey, you going the wrong way. Well, let me do it. You on the path to death. It's my life. And see, listen, that's all correction does. Is it warns us. Come on. Whom he loves, he what? Corrects. But see, when that heart ain't right, you not only hate the correction, but you grow to hate the one that gives it. You'd be surprised at how many people, listen to me carefully, are mad at God. They wanted answers. He sent correction. He sent rebuke. But see, when that heart ain't right, your heart will become hard. Listen, or you will become stubborn. Even God said about his own people, listen to the prophet, that my people are stiff-necked. See, I know y'all think church folk just easy to pastor. Come on, I know you do. I know y'all think I got the easiest job in the world. Put on a suit on Sunday and drive a nice car. Come on, some of you think that. Yeah, you do. Some of you think that. When it comes to appreciating, you know, what's to appreciate if you think it's so easy? Why give into it? It's so simple. But see, you'd be surprised of church folk that go to the job and they receive correction. Don't do it like that. Oh, yes, I didn't. Okay, yeah, it'll be done. But see, they'll tell you they like that because they want the promotion. They want the bonus. Come on. But does God not have promotions that are greater than the promotion of man? Come on, I'm teaching right. Do you know how I got most of my promotion? Through correction. Tell your neighbor, anytime God is correcting you, he's got a blessing for you. Tell that somebody else, anytime God takes the time to correct you,
That means he got something better for you. So don't you hate God's correction. Learn how to love it. Appreciate it. But see, you got to get their heart right. And not just God and pastors. God will have kinfolks and good friends that will correct you. That will tell you when you what? Don't run from them. Don't shut them out. You need that correction. Come on. Proverbs 21. Lord have mercy. I'm getting some looks, but I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I'm going to keep going. I'm almost done. Lord have mercy. That word tight. I told you it was a serious word today. So we got to guard that heart. Some of you act like you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you the concern, the cares of life, they'll do something to that heart that don't need to be done. Mess with that mind up there. Proverbs 21:4. A haughty look, a proud heart. The plowing of the wicked are what? Sin. That final heart we don't want is a proud heart. We don't want a heart that's lifted up to the point to where we're trying to do everything on our own. You trusting too much in yourself and not enough in God's ability to provide for you what you need. Come on. But that's a proud heart. But see, when the cares and the concerns of life are coming and you don't know how to guard your heart, you begin to have a proud heart and you begin to say dumb stuff like, well, if it's going to happen, I got to make it happen. I got to do what I got. Yeah, but you're getting out the will of God. Yeah, but I got to do what I got. That's a proud heart. When all we need to do is learn how to guard our heart. Come on. I'm in the close. Two scriptures and I'm done. Tell your neighbor, when you guard your heart, realize sometimes we're guilty of trying to carry too much. I'm in the close. Sometimes we're guilty. Yeah, God anointed you, brother. But he didn't anoint you to try to carry all that you trying to carry. And so I'm going to show you what it means to guard that heart or to preserve that heart. Remember that seat of emotions. That mind or that mindset. Go with me to 1 Peter. Y'all know where I'm going, but go there anyhow. Boy, we in the clothes, though. Trust me. 1 Peter. Let's get there real quick. Because some of us, we guilty. We guilty of trying to carry too much. Woo, there are mothers in here. You guilty, mama. You guilty, mama. You trying to carry too much. Woo, them chillin. Come on, can I say it like them old folk? Them chillin. They weighing on you. Come on, I say they weighing on you, mama. And see, some mamas are notorious. Watch this, for trying to be superwoman. What's wrong, baby? Throw it on mama. Tell mama. Bring it to mama. And see, that's reading. You're going to be mama bent over like this. Ain't even enjoying life. You just worrying all the time about your children, how you going to make it, this, that, and the other. But see, sometimes, mama, you got to let your children know, look, mama ain't superwoman. Mama made it because she trusts God. And when your children even try to bring you stuff sometimes, you got to tell them, have you talked to God about this? Have you taken? Come on, come on. I'm finna close, but I'm finna say something may make somebody mad. That's the reason I believe truly that there are more unhappy women than there are men. From mamas who try to carry too much. See, you only carry the load he measures out. See, remember what he said, I'll put no more on you. Come on, then you can what? Bear. But hold up, Supermama. You can't change that girl. And the whole time you trying to change that girl, you don't realize the one that's changing is you. And you mad about that girl not changing. She is not affected by your tears or your anger. But you carrying it. Look at 1 Peter. We finna let it go. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. Peter tells us how to guard that heart. I know Jesus in the house. I know the Holy Ghost in the house. I said, I know there are men that do it. Caring too much. Yeah, you the man of the house. But there's a man bigger than you. I said there's a man bigger than you. There's a man that can do more than you. Years ago, Donna tried to break my back with all her heart desires. I told her, she'll take, I told her, girl, you got to take some of this stuff. Go. And he going to move. And you got a brother loaded. Damn. You hear me? And see, and I had to learn. God, you going to do it through me. Come on, man. Because if not, life beat me and down. Come on. Life will beat a man down so to the man will sit down and he'll let the woman rule. Cares, concern of life turned him into a whip. He won't even say nothing when he need to say something. Talking about her mouth. Say something to her about her mouth. Ain't nothing like a man crying to other men about what his wife doing and won't do. Man, you just don't know, man. She did. Man, she look, man, you married that woman. I'm trying to close, but I'm taking God. I had so much cares on me about wanting to do, needing to do. And God had to teach me, look, you let me do through you. Let me move through you. Some man better receive. Or you going to work yourself right into a grave. Proverbs, what we have? 1 Peter 5 and 7. Y'all better pray. Y'all better pray. Casting all your care upon him. For he what? Amen. For he what? Amen. For he what? Amen. Tell your neighbor, the way you guard your heart is learning how to give stuff to God. Listen to this real quick. Number one, you give to God what you need to let go. There are things we need to give to God because we need to let it go. Y'all hear me? We need to let it what? Go. Cast this on God, and then God gonna tell you, let this what? Go. That means you don't do nothing else in reference to this until he tell you what to do. But then there are times I didn't know that we cast on God and we ain't gonna let it go, but then God gonna give us wisdom on how to handle the concern. So you cast it on him. Now you look for said wisdom to handle it. Which means you don't let it go. You wait for what? Wisdom. Closing in Deuteronomy. I'm done. Thank y'all for your patience today. Yeah, this message going to be about 58 minutes. Appreciate you. About half the time of your normal movie. Deuteronomy 5. Most of you watch your series. They're at least 45, 50 minutes per episode. Deuteronomy 5. And you in season 8. Deuteronomy 5. Yeah. It's 58 minutes. I ain't going to bother you too bad. Deuteronomy 5. I'm going to show you what to do when we get that heart right then. We're done. Show you what to do. Y'all ready? Deuteronomy 5 and 29. You got to receive this. Remember I'm talking about them cares of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring or flows the cares,
the concerns of life. I need to guard that heart. Why? Because if I guard my heart and my heart is in the place it needs to be, and I'm watchful over my heart, check out what's going to happen. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children. For how long? For how long? For how long? Tell me, when you guard your heart, you have a heart that fears God and always strives to keep his word. Now tell your neighbor, if you guard that heart like that, it's going to be well with you and your seed. Tell them for how long. I'm trying to close it. Tell them for how long. The economy down. Gas prices high. See, God said it's going to be well with you. How long? Job? No job. Bonus? No bonus. How long? How long? Good income tax? Oh, the IRS. What? 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 How long? I'm done. I'm done. It better get in you. It better get in you. It's going to be well with you.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.